The Ain't No Fang Podcast with Andy Greenberg.
That is the dumbest thing you can possibly do. Be smart about it.
And Steve Zinsmeister.
He's not great, so what are we doing here?
And Derek Montilla.
People are going to hate me for this.
Ain't No Fang from Arizona Sports.
Well, every season has ups and downs, and here we are, smack in the middle, hopefully at the end of a down. Today is Tuesday, July 3rd. The D-backs have lost four in a row. They got swept by the Giants, and they lost the first game of the series to the St. Louis Cardinals, which they came into town having gotten swept. So, gentlemen, now that we are in the midst of this downturn, I have to ask you, and we'll go around the table as we usually do. Derek Montilla, it is July 3rd, 2018. How many games will the Arizona Diamondbacks win?
They will win 93 games, Andy.
Derek, 93. Now, I realize that I had a week that I put on my phone because my computer was dead, so I got to pull that up real quick. You said last week 92. So
looking up during this 92, slow period for
which
the Diamondbacks.
Means,
I believe in them.
That was June 19th was the last time we did this because Steve missed the last episode, so we did not do the win total. We all have to be here for that.
You should have asked TJ McFarland last week.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been appropriate.
Why not?
Just to ask somebody.
He seemed open about
that question.
He talked about Archie Bradley pooping his pants.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he's open about these kind of things.
Everybody's talking about Archie Bradley pooping his
pants. Yeah, that's true. You know what? There was
an
article on Baseball Prospectus by Meg Rowley.
Okay.
And she did the research to try to figure out which game it was based on the information that Archie gave us.
I read that. It was good.
Important research.
No,
why do we want to know that? Do we not believe him?
Because, Derek, it's important.
All right.
We want to go back and look at the tape and
this
see
is why,
if it looked different.
This is why they don't tell us stuff. This is exactly why they don't tell us stuff.
Steve.
Whatever. I didn't do it. Meg did it.
Steve, how many games will the 2018 Diamondbacks win?
89.
Oh, which you're right on pace.
Steve.
I know I'm on pace. I remember the number every week, and
so
I just say
just
the
gonna,
same
you're
one
just
every
gonna
week.
Stick with that?
Yeah, I'm confident in that.
Let's see. Hang on. I'm just
really
catching
smart,
up here.
Guys.
So you're 8 off your original guess that you made back on May 1st.
That sounds about right.
My last one was pretty bad. I think that I'm going to stay with what I said last time, and that's 90. I think the Diamondbacks will win 90 games. Which
Andy has really come back down to earth.
Means that I'm at 18 below my original guess of 108. Still possible. I mean, hey, look at the June or the May, the June. Look at the June that they had.
Look at the June they had.
They keep going on with that. And they'll win 108.
What a June.
Plus, I mean, you know, you get some players back, and all of a sudden it's a different team.
Yeah, and so I had put together a bar graph of that, and so hopefully that data is saved. If it's not, I'll just make it again. But
poor you.
We'll keep that bar graph going.
So let's pretend they keep having these ups and downs. Where does it end up? Positively? Let's say July is another rough month, but it's a short month, right? So
well,
we get out of it easily, and then we get back to August.
If July is rough, August is great, September's rough, October's great.
October is great.
You want to be great in October.
But if your September's bad, you could play yourself out of the playoffs.
Oh, no.
And then that would make November bad, and if they were to make the World Series,
oh, no.
November would be bad.
That's not good. Let's get there first, though.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I'd like to get there. That'd be great.
Well, we got a couple guys back that are hopefully going to help them get there. Robbie Ray, AJ Pollock, they've both returned. Ray's had a good start and a rough start. First inning yesterday is pretty hard to watch, and then he was great until the sixth inning. So you still had that kind of span of relaxed, in control Robbie Ray. It just did not start well.
When he's bad, he tends to be bad right away, and then he tends to do a good job at recovering like he did. And it's weird too because Lavolo is going to have to deal with this from these guys. He needs these guys to get back on track, and the only way to really get them back on track is to give them actual starts in real MLB games. They can't do simulated starts anymore. They can't do minor league starts. They're excelling there. They need to get back into this, and that's the reason why we'll see whether they they do good or do poorly, we're going to see them continue to get starts.
I'm still interested to see, too, what happens, because we talked for several weeks about what happens with the starting rotation when Shelby Miller and Robbie Ray come back. They're both back now, but they didn't really have to do as much finagling as we thought because Clay Buchholz ended up on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
So when
and Alex Avila ended up on the DL.
The DL.
Quote, you see Zach quote. Buchanan's tweets about that? The first one said, I'm surprised to see it's retroactive to that date. He was running wind sprints in the outfield pregame. And then about an hour and a half later, he tweeted something along the lines of like, oh, you know, I should be more courteous of players who are injured or something like that. Like it seemed as if somebody pulled him aside and said like, hey, man, you can't talk about our players like that. You gotta go back and make that right.
Yeah, that is a little odd. But especially in the starting rotation, though, like once Clay Buchholz comes back, what do you do? Because
you already sent down Matt Cook.
Yeah,
you can't really send him out anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird situation. And if Shelby Miller continues to pitch the way that he has, it might not really be a decision they want to make, but they might have to figure out something else with him.
Maybe
throw him in the bullpen. I don't know.
Maybe you put Miller in the bullpen because you're going to get Delgado back soon, too. Randall Delgado's been playing in the minors.
Mm-hmm.
It's like too many cooks in the kitchen right now.
Right now, Delgado, as this loads for me, last time he pitched was yesterday, July 2nd. One inning, three hits, and a walk, and an earned run. So in 11 innings that he's pitched in the minors, 15 and two-thirds innings he's pitched in the minors this year, he's got a 3.45 ERA, 16 strikeouts. So I don't know.
Not great for a reliever ERA.
No.
But you can't really trust an ERA in Reno, and you can't trust a reliever ERA either.
Well, and some of it was in single A, too, right when he's coming back, and he hasn't pitched in about a year anyways.
Sure.
So he might get called up, too, and that means somebody's out of the bullpen. But I think before you get rid of Shelby Miller, you got to try him in the bullpen. You have to. You got to say, look, we're going to throw you out there for one inning. Give us all you got for one inning. Because who knows? You might have the next Andrew Miller type, where it was a guy that was a starter. He was expected to be a starter. He was a highly rated starter and then just crashed and burned and could not stay on the mound as a starter. But you put him in the bullpen and he's excellent.
You love Andrew Miller types, don't you?
I love Andrew. It's interesting to see.
It's interesting to see somebody fail so spectacularly at what they're supposed to do and excel elsewhere.
Sure. Well, like Archie, right? I didn't expect Archie to have the success that he's had. And as a matter of fact, there was a graph put out about pitchers that have had games where they threw over 95 miles an hour or something like that. And Archie was pretty much the only pitcher on the Diamondbacks that has done so.
Of any significance. I saw that chart, too.
Any significance, right. Yeah, so it's interesting to see that he has had so much success and transitioned so well into a role that, frankly, looked like a demotion on a downswing to his career, you know? But I just hope that they don't end up looking bad in the situation. I hope they don't have to part ways with Shelby Miller and then have him make a recovery and then once again be one of those stories that makes the franchise look like they were just impatient. It is a situation where they don't have a lot of options with a lot of these guys, and the rotation is going to force their hand here eventually.
I was at the game Saturday in the stands, and there were a lot of Giants fans around me, but at the same time, there were some Diamondbacks fans who, when Shelby Miller performed poorly, and he did for the second time in a row, there was a lot of booing.
A lot of booing. And this is
something that we've talked about, is that this year in particular, it's one of the first moments I've really seen in the Phoenix sports scene in general, forget about which sport, where fans are really demonizing one player. That's Alex Avila.
Yes.
People have wanted him gone for well over a month, 2 months now.
Public enemy number one with Diamondbacks fans.
And it's weird because that's not the vibe you get in Phoenix sports. We don't get that a lot. Markieff Morris, maybe you could have said, like, people really hated Markieff Morris.
He brought it upon himself with his behavior.
His wasn't based on his play.
Just poor play, right.
Yeah, Alex Avila is completely based on his play. In fact, I haven't heard him say anything negative about himself or about the team or anything like that.
Nope.
Shelby Miller could become Alex Avila's best friend.
Huh.
And that if Shelby Miller continues to pitch poorly, which, I mean, he hasn't pitched great in the 2 years he's been with the Diamondbacks, people might forget about Alex Avila. I mean, he's already on the DL. He's already forgotten in that way. But Shelby Miller could perform poorly enough that we forget about Alex Avila hitting 114 or whatever it is, and we might start hating on Shelby Miller.
Well, and people don't hate Alex Avila just because he's bad. They hate him because he gets starts and that they get they
he
see
gets
him
a lot of playing time.
Playing time, right?
Yeah.
Where they have a player like John Ryan Murphy, Father John Ryan Murphy, bless his soul, who actually is has been having a good year, and they want to see him playing more. And it's going to be the same thing with Shelby Miller in that aspect. There's too many good pitchers on this team, especially starting pitchers, to really have one giving 6-7 runs per game. It's not going to last long. But like I said, in order for Lavallo to really allow him to recover, he needs to give him starts. He needs to be out there. And it's the kind of thing that usually vibes when a team is doing poorly because it allows for that. Going back to when Patrick Corbin came back from Tommy John surgery, the team wasn't doing well. So there wasn't a lot of pressure on him or on the team to like start him or not start him or send him down. He was able to just be bad in starts, and it was fine because he was coming back from Tommy John surgery and everybody expected that. With this team being in first place and being in contention for a playoff run, the last thing fans want to see is the team giving up wins just because Shelby Miller is in the recovery process. It's a really difficult thing for someone like Lavallo to deal with.
That's why maybe for now the bullpen is the best option.
Absolutely.
There's another guy who just came back, and that's AJ Pollock. And I actually don't want this conversation to be about AJ Pollock because we saw what he could do.
Mm-hmm.
He's a known commodity as a member of the Diamondbacks.
He was the best player in baseball in the first month.
Absolutely. And right now, and while he was out, they acquired John Jay. So right now you've got John Jay, AJ Pollock, David Peralta, I would say Daniel Descalso and Chris Owings and Gerard Dyson that can all play the outfield. In the last five games, in his five games with Triple A Reno, Steven Souza Jr. in rehab starts is 8 of 20. That's a .400 batting average with a homer, four RBIs, four runs, three walks, six strikeouts, two stolen bases. What are you going to do when Steven Souza inevitably returns? We knew that they had these two outfielders out, Pollock and Souza, and one's already back, and he didn't really take anybody's place. He pretty much took Alex Avila's place as they ditched the catcher for the pitcher. And officially, they sent down pitchers in order to do all of this. But what do you do now that Souza's on his way back? He had a tough start, and we knew he was injured in the first place, and he had to rehab back from that. He re-aggravated it, and now he's rehabbing back from that. You got to think that he's healthy, that he's ready to go. What do you do?
I would say if I'm Lavallo, or if you're asking me what Lavallo's going to do, I would say that you're going to take Descalso and Owings off of the depth chart for outfielders and commit them to being infielders and run a five-man rotation in the outfield.
With Jay, Pollock, Souza, Peralta, and Dyson.
Right, with Dyson probably seeing the less time there and probably being used more in game situations at pinch hitting, stuff like that. But I think that it's going to be that kind of situation. It's a positive thing, but a couple of those guys are veterans, so they're not going to want to play every day. You're not going to have a resistance there to them not playing. David Peralta can still play regularly, and there can be a rotation. John Jay and Dyson, they're not going to have any arguments about sitting on the bench. They've done that before, and frankly, I'm sure they'll welcome it. I think all the players will welcome it just of the aspect that they want to keep their eyes on the postseason, and they want to catch throughout this ridiculously long regular season.
As much as you can, I want to see David Peralta and AJ Pollock play every day. I realize that's not entirely feasible. It's not like the NBA where everybody plays when they're healthy. Like, there are rest days in baseball because you can't win them all.
Sure.
I get that. For what it's worth, though, you have to put those two guys out there, David Peralta, AJ Pollock. They're the only two of your outfielders who consistently get on base.
Yeah.
Dyson is not getting on base at all. He's shown a good glove in the outfield, and that gets you somewhere in major leagues. But John Jay, to me, is your third starting outfielder. Because Souza, for what it's worth, Andy, the stats you gave about him in the minor leagues, that's great. Do it in the majors.
Because
when he was up in the major leagues and he was supposedly healthy, he wasn't doing it.
He hit 163 in 14 games
with
the Diamondbacks.
The suggestion was that he wasn't healthy the entire spring training.
That may be fair. When he comes back, I'm still operating under those pretenses that he's not completely healthy.
Well, this is also a guy that
doesn't deserve to start right away.
This is also a guy that's never hit 250 in the majors, too.
John Jay, I know he's not performing great with the Diamondbacks. He's like, you know, just barely over 300 when it comes to on base percentage. But historically, John Jay gets on base.
Yep.
Which is something that the other two guys, the Dyson and Souza that we're talking about, they don't do that consistently. And with how light their lineup has been without Pollock and without a couple other names throughout the course of the season, Jake Lamb missed a lot of time. This is the time to start implementing guys who get on base.
Right.
Dyson was the leadoff hitter the other night, and I was looking at that like, I get he's a speed guy, but that doesn't. That's got to be a one-off thing, like a one night.
Yeah, it absolutely
is. Because I'm not behind that.
No, you're
David Peralta should be hitting in the top two in your lineup every night. He gets on base.
John Jay's had trouble getting on base for the D-backs, though.
He has. No, that's what I'm saying. But historically, mm-hmm. and I'm going off averages, and I understand every game is different.
His career on base percentage is .355. This year with the D-backs is .327.
Which has got to be like third or fourth on the Diamondbacks on their roster. I mean, he gets on base more than guys like Souza and Dyson. I'd like to see John Jay continue to play even when Souza comes back.
The D-backs are a National League team, so it's a fact that they're going to need guys almost every single game to pinch hit, pinch run. It's the way that it works. It's part of the dynamic of the National League with the pitcher hitting and subbing them out and all of that. So the guys are going to get an opportunity to play. I think it just breeds competition. I think it's going to bring out the best in them. I think it's going to bring it back. Whereas right now they're in a desperation situation where they're putting out guys, they're literally going to free agency to bringing in guys just to fill holes. It'll be different once they're at full strength, and I think it will bring out the best in all of them, including Pollock and Peralta. I think the fact of them needing to play well in order to maintain playing time is going to be a factor for those guys. I think the other guys are just role players enough that they'll understand the rotation, and I think it will be a positive thing Lavolo will use to rotate the guys out. I think, yes, Peralta and Pollock will play more, but they're still going to get plenty of rest.
They're going to get days off, especially with Pollock's health. Yeah. And David Peralta deserves some time off, some days off, but he's the most consistent outfielder you have.
True.
In my opinion.
He's the most consistent hitter on the team right now. I mean, Goldschmidt's been doing well. He got player of the month, but it's still about consistency, and when you look at the entire season, Pollock and Peralta have pretty much been it when they're playing and healthy.
Hopefully, another player that we're going to see coming back is Randall Delgado, and that means that somebody's going to have to end up out of the bullpen, and it kind of makes sense because they've really kind of had a rotating spot or two for most of this season. Right now, that spot filled by Joey Crable, who is, as soon as he gets in a game, will be making his major league debut. I would assume that if you move Miller to the bullpen, that would be the odd man out, or maybe you give Delgado a chance at starting. I don't know. It's kind of a mess, and I'm really interested to see how this all plays out with the Arizona Diamondbacks. But one last question for you guys before we wrap up today's edition of the Ain't No Fang podcast. Who and how many All-Stars will the D-backs have? How many will they have, and who will it be? Because I think by the time we do this show next week, it will have been announced.
I feel like we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I don't think... Obviously, Jake Lamb missed too much time. He's not going to make another one.
Goldschmidt.
Paul Goldschmidt has the name recognition.
But first base is a big logjam in the National League.
And he's playing quite well now.
Right.
He won't get voted in, but Goldie could be elected in by, what is it, the manager? Or,
yeah. Manager, and yeah. I think the players. And there's also the final vote, because right now in the National League, first base, top five, Freddie Freeman, Anthony Rizzo, Brandon Belt, Cody Bellinger, Joey Votto. Freeman absolutely deserves to be number one.
Absolutely.
There.
There's a lot of Braves on that list.
I think the Braves
are
stuffing
the ballot
box.
Yeah, I saw that a week ago, and there's a Brave in the top three at every single position.
Except for, because Kurt Suzuki is there for catcher
Kurt
for some reason.
Kurt Suzuki
has more votes than Yadier Molina.
Do you know why? Never doubt the fans' ability to come together.
100%.
Johan Camargo is third at third base. Dansby Swanson is second at shortstop. He's having a horrible season.
Terrible season.
I mean, you remember.
And then you've got Nick Markakis.
This is the Royals fans season. The year after the Royals.
The Braves.
Won it.
Yes.
Ronald Acuna's fifth. Ender Inciarte sixth in the outfield. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, there was also the year, I think it was the year the Cubs were winning and they ended up winning the World Series. They had pretty much one guy.
They had Dexter Fowler starting in the All-Star game.
Dexter Fowler also had like a 420 on base percentage, so he was pretty amazing.
I'll say this about it. The Braves were much smarter about promoting their fan base's organization to get their players in, whereas I saw the Diamondbacks kind of drop the ball on that with a fan base doing that. You know?
Well, they've all been hurt. I mean, how am I supposed to vote
it wasn't
in?
This season, but I'm saying
so,
in the past.
So are you guys saying they're going to get one and it's going to be Goldie, or is there more
Well, they
out
have
there?
To get one, right? Isn't that the rule?
Everybody gets
one. That's what I'm saying, is that they're only going to get their one. It's
just like Spider-Man, everybody gets one.
Thanks, Peter.
I think it's Goldie, but only because of name recognition. I mean, he's performing very, very well. We've said that many
Anybody
times.
On the pitching staff? Maybe Greinke or Corbin?
I made the argument for Corbin, I think, a couple weeks ago, and I don't think he's lived up to it
Not
the last couple
then.
Weeks.
I think one of those two and Goldschmidt gets in.
Yep.
Maybe somebody else with a final vote, but I don't know. I don't know.
Greinke's been consistent.
I mean, Hirano deserves it.
Totally.
It's pretty rare for middle relievers to get it unless it's your one guy because the rest of the team sucks.
I'd make the case that the entire All-Star team should be made up of starters and no relievers, except for like people who do insane things like Aroldis Chapman throwing 105 miles per hour.
Well, we're going to find out, and we'll probably tweet about it once we find out who those All-Stars are going to be. And in fact, 2 weeks from now, it is the All-Star Game, the Midsummer Classic, that will hopefully involve more than one person on the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I'll be there on Sunday when they announce it. So
nice.
I'm interested to see
what
the team does. And
are they sending you to the All-Star Game?
They are.
Where is the All-Star Game?
It's in D.C.
D.C.?
They wanted to, but I'm not allowed in D.C.
Fair enough. All right, well, for Derek Montilla and Steve Zinsmeister, I'm Andy Greenberg. You've been listening to the Ain't No Fang podcast.